Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're looking at a security report today that, well, it reveals something pretty unsettling about things we usually think are safe online.
Yeah.
You know, when we think cyber threats, usually it's malicious attachments, dodgy links, that sort of thing.
Right, the obvious stuff.
But this report, it details a recent zero-day exploit, CVE-2025-27914, that weaponized, believe it or not, the simple calendar invitation file, the .ics file.
It's a real lesson in maybe complacency. This wasn't just broad phishing. It was sophisticated espionage aimed right at users of the Zimbra collaboration suite.
Which versions were it?
Multiple recent ones, 9.0, 10.0, and 10.1. And the campaign started back in early January 2025. It was operating totally under the radar because, well, there was no patch yet.
So our mission today is really to give you the quick guide to understanding this attack. We need to walk through how exactly an innocent meeting request turned into, well, a data thief.
A high-level one, yeah.
Yeah. And pinpoint the technical signs, the clues security teams really need to watch for now. And then, crucially, the steps you need to take right now to check if this thing is still hiding in your systems, that persistence aspect.
Exactly. You've got to understand the mechanics to build a better defense. So let's start at the beginning, the root cause. You hear zero day, you think maybe super complex memory attacks.
Right.
But the vulnerability here, disturbingly simple, actually.
Okay, let's unpack that then. What was CVE-2025-27915 at its heart?
Basically, it was a classic cross-site scripting vulnerability, .xss. Simplifying it, the issue was Zimbra just wasn't properly sanitizing, like cleaning the HTML content embedded inside files it processed.
So it trusted the input too much?
Pretty much. If an application takes user input and runs it without filtering, it's basically leaving the door open. The attackers just fed executable JavaScript inside the calendar file.
And Zimbra just ran it.
It trusted it enough to run it right in the victim's browser session.
And the choice of the .ics file.
Yeah.
That feels like the really clever part, the psychological trick.
Oh, absolutely. It elevates this attack way beyond typical malware. Think about it. Sophisticated security tools. They're laser focused on scanning PDFs, spreadsheets, executables.
The usual suspects.
Exactly. Calendar files. They're seen as harmless plain text. They get exchanged everywhere, across organizations, no questions asked. By hiding the payload in this trusted format, they just strolled past a lot of security checks.
Wow.
They exploited the trust built right into the simple act of scheduling a meeting.
And the sources show this wasn't just a random blast either. It was specific.
Highly targeted espionage, no question. The attack scenario they identified involved emails pretending to be from the Libyan Navy's Office of Protocol.
Okay, unusual.
And the target, a Brazilian military organization. I mean, that level of specific detail impersonating one foreign government agency to target another military, that screams state-sponsored intent. Sophisticated. Targeted.
Okay, now here's the first point where maybe security teams could have spotted something, right? Because these files had to carry code, they couldn't look exactly like normal invites.
Right, the file size, that's the first loud alarm bell.
Yeah.
If you're setting baselines for calendar attachments, they should be tiny, almost always under 10 kilobytes.
And these?
These malicious .cs files were huge in comparison, often over 100 kilobytes.
Why so big? Just the JavaScript payload.
Yeah, all that space was packed with JavaScript, but just plain script would be too obvious, right?
Sure.
So they heavily obfuscated it, then hid it using Base64 encoding. Think of it like wrapping a really big object in misleading paper to fit it in a small box. Doesn't really fit, but looks different.
So the file size alone is a major red flag if you see 100K calendar invites.
Something is seriously wrong. That's your first actionable takeaway, really. Baseline file sizes.
Okay, so let's get inside that payload.
Mm-hmm.
What did this massive chunk of JavaScript actually do once it got executed?
Yeah.
The sources say the execution itself was complex, hard to analyze.
Yeah, the execution method confirms the sophistication level. It ran asynchronously using multiple immediately invoked function expressions, IAFEs.
IAEPs. Okay, for listeners maybe not deep in coding, why does using those make analysis harder?
Well, think of an IAFE like a tiny, self-destructing task runner. Instead of one long script, you can easily trace.
Start to finish.
Right. The attackers broke their main task, say, stealing credentials, into maybe a dozen tiny, separate pieces. Each one executes instantly, does its little job, and then vanishes. No variables left hanging around, no easy trace in the global environment.
So it's like death by a thousand cuts for monitoring tools.
Exactly. It makes real-time analysis incredibly difficult because the security tool never sees the whole picture unfold in one go.
And their goal wasn't just data. It was credentials, the keys to the kingdom. The methods for getting those were designed to look normal.
Totally blended in. They used a few tactics at once. First, they dynamically created invisible login form fields on the real login page.
Invisible.
Yeah, invisible to the user, but there for the malware. It's like painting an invisible net over the actual login box. You type your password in the real field, the invisible one grabs a copy.
That's sneaky. But you said there was more. Something about user inactivity. That sounds like the real aha moment.
It really is clever tradecraft. They monitored user activity, mouse movements, keyboard input, just watched to see if the user was actually working.
Okay.
If the user went idle for a bit, the malware would actually force a logout.
Force a logout.
Yeah. And what do you do when you get logged out unexpectedly?
You log back in. You assume it was a timeout or a glitch.
Precisely. And that action, logging back in, that required reauthentication. That's exactly when the credential capture attempt was triggered.
Wow. They didn't need a fake login page. They just made the real login mandatory, but on their schedule.
Exactly. It looks like a perfectly standard required re-login. It completely weaponizes the user's trust in that normal login process.
Okay, so they get the credentials. Then what? Data exfiltration.
Uh-huh.
How did that work? Was it just grabbing files?
No, much smoother than that. They integrated directly with Zimbra using its own tools, specifically its SOAP API.
Using Zimbra's own plumbing against itself.
Pretty much. The SOAP API is like the internal messaging system for the whole suite. By using the API, they could search mail folders, pull out message content systematically.
Programmatically.
Right. So it looks more like legitimate admin activity, not some clumsy, large file transfer that might raise flags. It was automated. Bulk theft.
And this theft ran like clockwork, apparently.
Yeah, there was a strict schedule. All the collected data was bundled up and sent out to attacker-controlled servers every 4 hours.
Every 4 hours. That specific interval, that's another potential signature, right, for network monitoring.
Absolutely critical one. Network security teams should be hunting for those kinds of persistent, unusual outbound connections happening at fixed intervals. That regularity is suspicious.
Which brings us straight to persistence. Because, okay, the zero day gets patched. Maybe the initial .cs file gets found and deleted. But the attackers wanted to stick around.
Of course. Standard practice for this level of actor. They moved beyond the vulnerability itself and started exploiting the platform's normal administrative features. Their main method was deceptively simple. They just modified the victim's email account settings.
Ah, the infamous Correo rule. Tell us about that.
They created a user-level forwarding rule, and they labeled it Correo, which is just...
Spanish for mail.
Exactly. Very generic. This rule silently forwarded copies of all incoming emails to an external Proton mail address the attackers controlled.
Wait, so they used a common foreign word to blend in and picked a privacy-focused email service like Proton Mail.
Seems deliberate, yeah. Mm-hmm. The name Correo probably wouldn't stand out in many environments. And using Proton Mail means the attackers don't need their own dedicated command control server infrastructure, which can be traced and taken down.
They leverage a legitimate trusted service. Makes tracing the stolen data way harder.
Much harder. And beyond just emails, they also grab contact lists, distribution groups, info on shared folders, authentication tokens, basically anything to help them stay in or move around if that main account got shut down.
And even with all that, they still worried about being too noisy. Something about timing controls.
Yeah. Operational security was clearly a high priority. The malware had a built-in 3-day execution gate. It limited how often the really resource-heavy stuff like that initial big scan or changing settings would actually run, maybe only once every 3 days.
To avoid causing noticeable system slowdowns or spikes that might trigger alerts.
Exactly. Keep the footprint low, stay under the radar, very patient, methodical approach.
Okay, let's talk attribution. Developing and using a zero day like this, especially against something like Zimbra, it takes serious resources. It narrows down the list of suspects quite a bit.
It does. You're likely talking about groups with significant backing.
So who are researchers pointing fingers at, even tentatively?
Well, definitive attribution is always tricky, as you know. But researchers did note tactical similarities to operations previously linked to a group called UNC-1151.
And they have been associated with.
They have established links to Belarusian government interests.
Okay. And the target being a military organization?
Mm-hmm.
That also suggests certain players.
Absolutely. That high complexity, the military target, it also fits the playbook of Russian-linked espionage groups. They're known for investing heavily in finding and using zero days in common enterprise software.
So while we can't say for sure,
we have to be careful, report impartially. No final attribution's been made, but the consensus is pretty clear. This looks like a well-resourced, likely state-sponsored campaign. All the hallmarks are there.
Let's nail down the timeline. This is crucial for understanding the window of exposure. When did attacks start, and when did the fix arrive?
Exploitation kicked off in early January 2025. The patches versions 9.0.0, P44, 10.0.13, and 10.1.5 weren't released until January 27th, 2025.
So roughly a three-week gap.
At least. That's a long time for organizations to be completely exposed with no vendor patch available. That's the real danger of a zero day.
Did Zimbra comment on how widespread this was?
They did state the exploitation seemed relatively contained, not like hitting millions of users.
But
we have to be careful with contained.
Right, compromising even one military organization's communication system
is a serious national security event, regardless of the total number of victims. Contained doesn't mean not serious.
Okay, so let's bring this home for the listener. If you're running Zimbra, or frankly, any major collaboration platform,
yeah,
what are the actionable steps you need to take now based on this?
First, absolutely mandatory, patch. Immediately. If you're not on 9.0.0p04, 10.0.13 or 10.1.5 or later, stop what you're doing and update. That's number one.
Right.
Second, you must do a forensic review of all user-configured email filters, not just server-side rules, user rules. Look specifically for that Corio rule, or frankly, any rule forwarding mail to external services, especially ones like Proton Mail. That's your check for that sneaky persistence.
And how about finding traces of the initial attack vector, the .ics file itself?
Yeah, you need to examine your message stores. Look for suspicious calendar attachments, those .ics files. The specific things to hunt for are files over, say, 10 kilobytes, or any that contain Base64 encoded script. That's the physical fingerprint.
Got it. And the network side?
Enhance your network monitoring. Look for that weird outbound traffic pattern connections happening regularly every 4 hours to unusual destinations.
You know, this whole incident really highlights a fundamental failure that let this happen.
It really does. I mean, yes, it shows attackers are creative. They'll exploit less obvious vectors like calendar invites. But the root cause, basic input validation failure, an XSS vulnerability.
It's almost embarrassing.
The fact that a failure to properly filter user input could be the key that unlocks a sophisticated espionage campaign. It proves these fundamental security basics are still critical and apparently still being targeted by top-tier actors. They know companies focus on the fancy new threats and sometimes neglect the basics.
Okay, so let's recap this deep dive. We had a zero-day vulnerability in Zimbra. Attackers used trusted ICS calendar files, bloated with hidden JavaScript, to get initial access.
Right. Then used clever tricks like invisible forms and forced logouts to harvest credentials.
Leveraged the platform's own SOP API for stealthy, large-scale data theft, sending it out every 4 hours.
And maintained persistence using a simple user-level forwarding rule named Corio, sending copies of all incoming mail to an external Proton Mail account.
Which leads to a pretty challenging final thought for everyone listening.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just block calendar invites, right? That's essential business communication. So the real challenge for security teams is shifting. It's not just about detecting known malware anymore.
It's about behavior.
Exactly. It's about constantly establishing and enforcing baselines for what normal looks like. Normal file sizes for invites. Normal frequency for certain actions. Normal account settings. You have to spot the subtle anomalies these embedded payloads create. That's the next frontier, really.
Finding the abnormal within the normal. Something for everyone to think about as they review their own security posture.